Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
Romans chapter 1. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my Spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making a request if, by some means, now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So, as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, "The just shall live by faith." For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because, although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them.
I love to tell the story, will be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story, 'tis pleasant to repeat. What seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word.
Lesson 118, Revelation of the Gospel. In our last lesson, we completed our study of the book of Acts, and today we are beginning a new study in the next book of our New Testament, the book of Romans. Romans presents to us the doctrine of the gospel. God has provided this book so that all men can have a clear understanding of the gospel message, and no one will have any excuse on the day of judgment and say that God did not give them a fair chance to be saved. God is interested in the salvation of all people, and has sent forth the gospel message so that all will hear and believe. We shall learn that the whole world is guilty because men have turned away from God and His righteousness, and have chosen a path of sin. Romans teaches us that all men are sinners and guilty before God, but because of God's love and grace, God has made a way of salvation for us. The salvation that God offers to mankind is not based on man's efforts or keeping the rules and regulations of the Bible, but it is through faith in Jesus Christ. Eternal life is entirely a free gift that God is willing to give to all who place their trust in Jesus. Romans teaches us that God is not only interested in bringing us to heaven, but also in changing us to be like Jesus and allowing us to share in His glory. The love of God is for us, and nothing can take us away from that love once God has called us to be His child. Though God wants the Jewish nation to believe and follow Jesus as their Messiah, they have rejected God's salvation, and their lack of faith blinds them. However, God's wisdom will use the Gentile believers to provoke Israel to jealousy, so that eventually they too will believe in Jesus as their Savior. By this, God has done all that He can do to convince both Jews and Gentiles to accept His free gift of salvation. Because of the goodness and mercies of God, we who know the Lord are called to submit our lives entirely to Him. We are to have transformed minds, serve the church, and demonstrate to the world that we are followers of Jesus when we display grace, forgiveness, and love to others. This is a quick overview of the book of Romans, and I know if you desire to follow God's plan for your life, you will learn from and enjoy this book. I encourage you to pray that God would show you His plan for you. Let us dedicate ourselves to follow along in this study as we learn God's plan to bring us to heaven and to be like and with Jesus forever. Romans chapter 1 has three sections: the subject of the gospel, the mission of the gospel, and the revelation of the gospel. In the first section, the subject of the gospel, we learn that the gospel is all about Jesus Christ, who is revealed to us as the Son of God by His resurrection from the dead. When Jesus calmed a storm at sea, His disciples said, "What manner of man is this?" And when the woman at the well discovered His divine knowledge, she said, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." But it was Thomas, who saw Jesus alive after his crucifixion and said, "My Lord and my God." The gospel reveals to us that Jesus is God's Son and therefore equal with God. We must believe who Jesus really is in order to be saved. In the second section, we have the mission of the gospel, where we discover that the gospel is sent out to all people, first to the Jewish people, but then also to the Gentiles. God wants all men to be saved, and so he has sent out the apostles, men like Paul, and missionaries to carry the message of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. This mission is continuing to this very day. In the third section of this chapter, we read about the revelation of the gospel. The gospel is revealing the wrath of God against all the wickedness of man. As the gospel spreads its message, it reveals to man how sinful he is, how he is turned away from God, and chooses to worship created things rather than God himself. Men should have known and worshiped God, but men do not want to think about God, and they want to make up their own religious ideas and practices. God allows them to follow their own foolish course, and their minds become reprobate, and their practices become more and more evil. The writer explains that as men turn from God to pursue the lust of their own hearts, they will turn away from God's purpose and design by preferring homosexual relationships rather than the heterosexual relationships God intended. This perversity is an indication of a society that has departed from God and is ripe for his judgment. We can see the downward trend of those who practice sin. They might begin by turning away from what is good, but eventually they find themselves so immersed in a world of sin and depravity that they can only be described as haters of God. Today we see some who fight against God and ridicule religion, and those who have their hope in God. These who profess to be wise have become fools, for no one practices sin and gets away with it. There is much for us to think about in this chapter, and we don't have time today to consider all of its richness, but let us at least remember that the gospel is God's message for all mankind, and each of us needs to know and trust in Jesus as our Savior, or else we shall have to face God's wrath. Today we read, "The just shall live by faith," and this means that those who have come to Jesus in faith, and whom God has accepted as his righteous children, will live their lives on earth by trusting in God always. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, "The just shall live by faith." Romans chapter 1, verse 17.
Tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story.
And now for today's Bible question. Today we had our introduction to the book of Romans, which teaches us about the gospel. The gospel, we learned, was all about Jesus, the Son of God, and God's desire to see all men saved. It reveals how men turn away from God to worship created things and fall into perverse and wicked sins. Someone might ask the question, how does God make himself known to men? When we see how much sin is in the world, we might wonder how people would be so willing to behave wickedly when God hates sin and is ready to judge our wickedness. The problem is that men do not like to think about God. They cannot see God with their eyes, so they like to pretend that He is not really there, and so they are free to act any way they please. However, God says that men are without excuse, for even though we cannot see God with our eyes, we know He is there by the things which He has made. God makes Himself known to men in at least three distinct ways, and we shall consider each of these. Some men might not believe in God or feel they are accountable to God. They convince themselves that God does not exist or that He does not care about how they behave. The reason men choose not to believe in God is not due to a lack of evidence for His existence, but because they want to live however they please. They love the freedom to do anything their heart desires. It is something like children who are left at home alone when their parents have gone out. The children might be careful to behave well because they know that eventually the parents will be back home and punish any bad behavior. But the children might choose to just behave as they want to and eat all the food in the house and damage things in the house. They convince themselves that their parents will not find out, and so they can get away with it. They think about their present desire and not the future consequence of their behavior. This is how many people are behaving in the world today, thinking that they are getting away with their sin and that God will never judge them. If they really believed in God and His righteous judgment, they would never allow themselves to carry on in a life of sin. So how does God awaken us to know that He is really there, even though we cannot see Him with our eyes? Well, as I said, God does this in three ways. Firstly, God speaks into man's conscience. Everyone has been given a conscience, and that is the part of us that understands the difference between what is right and what is wrong. A conscience is present in every human being, and they instinctively know that it is wrong to cheat, murder, and steal. No laws have to be written for man to understand this, because the ideas of right and wrong are already built into our minds since we have been made in the image of God. Our conscience has certainly been damaged because of sin, and can even become wounded, hardened, or deadened. This does not deny that we all have a God-given conscience. We know some things are wrong because our conscience leads us to understand that someday we must face our judge. Though we may have never seen God or know much about God, our conscience leads us to know that there must be a God who hates evil and will judge it. If this were not so, we would just do anything that we please and not consider how it hurts others, so long as we gain some benefit. But this is not how we act. And even godless people still have a conscience, and this is the way God makes Himself known to men. Another important way that God reveals Himself to men is through His creation. We are part of God's creation, and He has given us minds to think and eyes to see. As we look around us at all that God has made, we are led to understand that created things must have a creator. When we see something beautiful or observe the balance, order, and intricate complexity of creation, we can reasonably conclude that these things could not have happened without a Creator who is full of power and wisdom. Some people have not come from a religious home or been taught about God, and yet they can see creation and that there must be a Creator who made all these amazing things. There are people who have come to know God and trust in Jesus because of the witness of God's creation. In today's lesson, we learn that God's invisible attributes are seen and understood by the things which God has made, including His power and Godhead. Men should recognize from the message of creation that God is their judge, and they will answer to His authority someday. Finally, and most importantly, God speaks to us through His written revelation in the Bible. We can know God because He has spoken plainly to us. It is the Word of God that leads us to know Jesus. Jesus was not just an idea drummed up by zealous people who wanted hope for something better after death. Jesus was a real historical person who came into this world and walked among men, being seen and heard by countless witnesses. After they rejected God's Son and crucified him, God raised him from the grave, speaking loudly and clearly to all men that Jesus is God's Son and our only hope for eternal life. Yes, God has spoken, whether by conscience, creation, or by the Word of God, and so all men may know God. Do you know him? Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Romans chapter 1, verse 19. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament Church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948, or if you have access to the internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student. Jesus saw me when a stranger, wandering from the home of God. He to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Unto grace how great I If you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation, or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
On the cross, He took my sin.
I know that there are people who are not trusting Jesus Christ and therefore can only expect condemnation. And so I'm just going to plead with you, lay down that rebellion. Lay it down. And simply embrace the gospel that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Righteous One, died for your sins. He was raised on the third day, triumphant over all His enemies. He reigns until He puts all of His enemies under His feet. Forgiveness of sins and a right standing with God comes freely through Him alone, by faith alone.
Oh.